on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, I tell you what, catching up with Ken Ham, what a joy that was. And I don't know if you caught it, but you know, you can talk to someone who's been doing ministry for decades. And you kind of hear it, you know, time to make the donuts. Not with Ken. I was really encouraged by the amount of enthusiasm. I kind of did the math. He's got to be in his 70s. But he seem young at heart when it comes to his enthusiasm for sharing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and all the great work he, and as we mentioned in the interview, it's not Ken's ministry. It's a great group of people at Answers in Genesis that are doing good work. And you can go to answersingenesis.org to find out more and look for that miraculous book wherever you are looking for new content. It's a beautiful piece to not only go through, but to have maybe on your coffee table at home or in your office, and share the story of what they've accomplished at Answers in Genesis. And as you go through that, obviously, they just point to Christ. So I appreciate Ken and the time he took to do that. You'll find that archived shortly at abqconnect.online, where you'll find other conversations, including our next guest who joins us in studio, Tim Stewart, the CEO at Impact Nations. It's Impact Nations, remind me, .com, .org.
You can get there either way. .com, I think.
You guys did it the right way. You went out and bought them both.
Yeah, we did. And there's still hot debate in the background of which one I should be giving out. But I think .com is what I'm in the habit of saying.
So. Yeah, ImpactNations.com, who, by the way, was our featured ministry last month and celebrated 20 years of transformation. And I was able to attend much of that celebration at Gruway on the frontage road. How long has it been now? A week or two?
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah. But it was good to see a lot of familiar local faces and leaders. My prayer is that you'll continue to see growth in those that are interested in what's happening at the Ministry of Impact Nations. And we can get into more detail about that, but I do want to kind of get a report from you. How did you feel about the celebration? What came out of that?
It was a blast. It was really fun, actually, to see so many people from different walks of life in this city coming together to celebrate what God's been doing for the last 20 years through the Impact Nations family. We have a lot of local businesses that have been a wonderful support of our work, and I do hope to continue to see that grow. But not only were they able to sponsor the event, but many of them came and brought some of their team members and stuff like that. I think we had about 75 people in attendance, which was remarkable.
You guys brought some of your team members.
Yes, yeah. My parents were there, which was really neat. My parents were the founders of Impact Nations 20 years ago. Continue to serve on our team in a different capacity at this time, but to hear them share some of their story. You know, Impact Nations, when we started 20 years ago, it started really when my father was coming. My dad was a pastor. I grew up as a pastor's kid, and he was coming back from a conference he'd been doing in South Korea and heard the Lord just say to him while he was sitting on a plane, like, hey, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And I think he was 50 at the time, and Dad said, what do you mean?
It's a home stretch, man.
Can I do anything? And God said, yes. Dad always jokes, well, I wish I'd asked to be the second baseman for the Yankees.
But, yeah. and I'll tell you this. You and I actually talked, maybe I'll put you a little bit on the spot, right here on the air live. We had talked to you, hey man, if your parents are in town, they're always welcome in the conversations you and I have. And they are both, your dad's testimony, that's a powerful one that, I would welcome him to come and tell the KLYT listener. I was talking about Ken Ham and his passion years and years into, I see the same thing in you and your dad and your mom. It's just really encouraging, and I love what you guys are doing, but appreciated that they took the time to be a part of that celebration here in Albuquerque.
It was really neat to actually share with them because it's morphed, it's changed a lot since those 20 years began. You know, when we started, Impact Nations was this ragtag bunch of folks. It was, Dad will tell you, it started basically on his dining room table, and their very first foray into bringing aid to impoverished nations was a single medical clinic in Kenya. They had one suitcase full of medicine, and they came and they set up a little card table, and they opened it up. He says they had to literally shoo camels away from underneath the only shade tree, and and they set it up and served medicine. And now, I mean, we were doing medical clinics in prisons just last month, 2 months ago in Malawi. When I was in Malawi last year, we were seeing like 800 patients a day at some medical clinics. So it has grown significantly.
I've been around Calvary Church, this Calvary Church in Albuquerque, since the 80s, and, you know, kind of the same thing, you know, but, you know, I think it started from humble beginnings, and when you know who we are that are working to have the ministry grow, it's humbling because I think Impact Nations is like-minded. And that we look back at it and we go, look what God has accomplished in spite of us.
In spite of us, yes, yeah. He'll work through us and sometimes just around us if need be, I think. And it is incredible. And what an amazing privilege to be able to actually partner with the King of Kings for the building of his kingdom. Yeah. And, you know, we know because Jesus told us flat out, like his heart is with the poor. One of the things I've always heard Dad say, which I love, is we're not bringing Jesus to these people. Jesus is already there waiting for us, right? And we know that out of Matthew 25, right? When you brought them a drink of water, brought them clothing, whatever, when you visited the prison, like you were visiting me, you were serving me. And so it's so wonderful to have this privilege to go into these nations, into these very difficult circumstances, whether they're urban slums or rural villages where people are really, really struggling. But to be able to say, God sees you, he made you in his image, like you are beautiful, you are made with dignity, inherent dignity, you bear the image of God, and he wants you to hear the good news that you get to actually flourish in the kingdom of God with him. What a privilege to be able to get to deliver that message.
Well, listen, we're actually already up against a break, but we're going to take... Tim, can you stay with us?
I will stay.
We got plenty to talk about.
Absolutely.
Impact Nations, you'll find it impactnations.com. Tim Stewart, the CEO, is going to be with us for our final segment, and we hope you'll stay with us because we have some stories to share, and we have some opportunity for you to come alongside the work that they're doing. And, you know, God willing, we look back, if he tarries, we'll look back 20 more years of ministry. But we'll come back with more after the break on ABQ Connect. All right, in studio with Tim Stewart from Impact Nations, and we mentioned in our first segment the recent celebration of 20 years of ministry and fundraiser, by the way. And, you know, Tim, let's talk a little bit more about that because there's a lot of work that Impact Nations does around the globe.
Yeah.
And obviously at no cost to those on the receiving end of being ministered to.
Indeed, yeah.
However, there is a cost.
There is, yeah. I used to say we're a small organization. Maybe we're getting close to medium size. I don't know. Our global budget annually is about $1.8 million USD. With that, though, what is amazing is how many lives we can touch, tens of thousands of lives. This year alone, we'll do probably 1.5 million meals distributed in war-torn regions and usually natural disaster-struck areas. We are always moving people towards self-sustainability, so we've got gardening that's happening in those same places to get people to be able to grow their own food. Meanwhile, we're rescuing people from human trafficking, from child slavery, getting them out of danger into safety, but then giving them the skills that they need to be able to flourish long-term. And so the event a couple weeks ago, the celebration actually yielded between our sponsorships and those who gave that night, we raised about $55,000,
awesome,
which was a wonderful gift. And I tell you what we can do with that, it's astonishing.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing here in America, but you take that overseas to third world countries, it seems to go, you know, a lot farther. You know, one of the things I wanted to bring up too, because we just mentioned support financially, which we hope our listeners will prayerfully consider, and you can find out how to do that at impactnations.com. Like most of these organizations, including ours, homepage, top of the page, there's a button for you to click on.
Make it nice and easy.
Yeah, but you know what? Along with that, support is not only financial, it's words of encouragement and prayer.
Yeah.
And God is a God of specificity, you know, when it comes to prayer.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as you go through the work that you're doing globally, the enemy isn't cool with it.
No.
Let's aim at that. How specifically do you see the enemy preventing Impact Nations to share the gospel through word and, you know, literally sharing the gospel and action?
Yeah. Well, I would say that in India, the obvious thing is that there's significant persecution of believers in India. Our partners, who we don't typically name in public, but they go under the radar. But they oversee a house church network of about 1 million baptized believers. But they are regularly coming up against significant persecution from the investigative bureau, which is kind of their version of the FBI or what have you, where they're dragged in by the secret police and they are harassed and threatened and all sorts of things. Threatened with being shut down and things like that. So we have to be very, very careful with that. And then there is just darkness that we're, you know, a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
Where, you know, in Africa and in Asia, we are rescuing young women from brothels where they are very often hooked on drugs by their abusers who want to make sure they can control them. We get these young ladies out, and so we're fighting against evildoers effectively and really bringing people out of darkness. But very often, because of the addiction, they will go back into the brothel because they're hooked on drugs and they want to get back to their drugs, things like that. So even just the spiritual battle of trying to get people out of darkness and into light, it's very real, and it can be exhausting for our team, and yet they continue to persevere.
Yeah. So pray that God will act there, not only to, you know, change the hearts of those that are persecuting. You know, Paul found himself confronted with the Lord.
Yeah.
In the midst of persecution.
Indeed.
So pray. God can do. Don't put God in a box.
Buddy, I tell you what, like we have seen the hearts of slaveholders in India who, I mean, own factories where they are making generations serve as slaves, indentured servants in their brick factories, and their hearts have turned and said, you know what, we're going to let you get the children out and send them to school. We've now rescued 3,500 children from slavery and getting them into school because the hearts of those factory owners turned at least a little bit. They're still holding other slaves, but we got those ones out.
So. Yeah. And you know, if their hearts continue to harden, they'll just get harder and harder. Pray that for that softening. Pray for the Spirit to work in that area, to soften hearts and to save lives. But again, the information's found at impactnations.com. We've got about 4 minutes, and before we go, you know, there's a lot of stories, which, by the way, you'll find them on the website.
Indeed,
a lot of great stories, but. Tim, let's talk about gift.
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that our team gets loads of is just stories coming in all the time of people who have gone through our programs and are now flourishing. And I got a photo just 2 days ago from one of our partners of a young lady named Gift. She's in Uganda. When we first encountered Gift, it was 2022, I believe, and she had been she was living in a rural village in Uganda, and her parents sent her for a job opportunity to work as house help in a home where she was taken advantage of terribly. Her pay, if you can believe it, was $14 a month. I can't even buy a sandwich for 14 bucks.
No.
Our team recognized that she was actually ripe for trafficking. She was already facing very difficult circumstances in where she was, but that's the type of circumstance that traffickers target and would lure her away into some pretty terrible circumstances. We were able to get her into the School of Purpose, which is teaching marketable skills. We've got about 1,100 students that go through that program every year, just that one vocational school. Gift was one of those students. She graduated with honors, and she was a tailoring student, so she learned to sew. We do internships. She got an internship and started earning good money right away. She was actually able to start sending money back to her village so that her four younger siblings could get into proper school and get an education so they could have a better future for themselves. She started her own company, was doing work, tailoring work for many others. Well, she graduated from her program and has flourished, but then she met a man, a wonderful Christ-centered man. She met the Lord in the midst of all of this, by the way, and has been discipled by our team. And we were able to just celebrate her wedding with her. Her wedding dress, not only did she sew it, but many of the students, the existing students at the school, helped to sew it. The wedding cake was made by students in our catering program. Her hair and makeup was done by students in our hair and makeup program and things like that. So it was so beautiful to see this holistic, beautiful end to a story that could have ended very tragically, but because our team, led by the Holy Spirit, was able to intervene back in 2022, she's got a whole new future.
And praise God for that. There are stories that aren't ending that way,
no.
And there's more work to be done. And again, I'll just direct you to the website to find out more and prayerfully consider your support of impactnations.com. And, you know, Tim, you know, I can't think of a time I've reached out to you when I've said, hey, Tim, you want to come on the air? Yeah. And that's just kind of your MO.
I love telling stories. So I tell you what, here's an offer right now. If you want to email me, tim@impactnations.com, I'll buy you a coffee. We'll sit down. We'll have a chat. I'll tell you more about what we're doing. If you've got any questions about what you see on the website or whatever, I'd love to talk with you about it. Hey, how often do you get to have a really amazing Christ-centered international ministry right here in your backyard, and the CEO is saying, hey, I'll buy you coffee?
So. Yeah, and you know what? Maybe you're looking, you know, and as we extend that, you know, I think primarily of those who know Jesus and want others to know Jesus. Maybe you're listening and you don't have that relationship yet.
Mm.
I'm going to guess, Tim, you're interested. Give me a call and I'll explain to you why my heart was changed.
Yes.
That I want to do these things, and I'll introduce you to the guy.
Oh yeah,
who changed my heart.
Yes, and I can share my testimony of how the Lord radically rescued me and changed my life, because I was this close to living under a bridge, homeless and destitute, with no wife and no children.
So maybe 30 seconds, Tim, what's on the landscape? What's coming down the road?
Right now, we are about to break ground on a new women's shelter in India, where I mentioned the brick factories. There are young girls as young as 15 years old who are being abused every night because they live in a co-ed dormitory. When the lights go out, you can imagine the abuse they're facing.
Yeah.
We're actually going to be able to build a shelter to get them out of that situation and get them training so that they can have a whole new future. So appreciate prayers on that for sure.
All right, impactnations.com, that's the place to go. And we encourage you to join us every day at 1 o'clock, whether it's this conversation or the conversation we had with Ken Ham earlier in the broadcast, or other opportunities to revisit these conversations. Go to abqconnect.online.